Well, if you'll take your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, and we are in chapter 16, and I just want to say once again, two of the ladies are not with us here upstairs, but I just want to say a hearty thank you to Brother Drew, Miss Larissa, and to the other young ladies, Christina and Kaylee. What a blessing it is. That's not an easy thing, to finish classes, run through your classes for Tuesday, Thursday classes and try to be ready for them, drive an hour to get up here, go soul winning for an hour, and maybe a little bit more than that. Actually, we met at 5 o'clock for something to eat at Subway, and then have a service till 9:30, maybe not that late. We're trying to get out right on time, but and you can thank them. I'm going to try. We normally go to 8:45, but I'm going to try to let it out at 8. Is that okay with everybody? All in favor, say aye. Aye. I knew it was going to be a hearty aye. All right. But we'll try to get them out of here so they can get back to the dorm and get a little studying or just some relaxing in. Proverbs chapter 16 is where we are. And so, Brother Arlen, since I don't think Brother Josh is here unless I can't see him. Is he here? I don't believe so. Okay, he is not. All right. So, Brother, I know he is ready. He showed me his notes on Sunday. And so something must have come up, or he was going to be here. He was all excited about it. And so we'll have him do it another time. But we're going to have Brother Arlen to give us what the Lord's laid on his heart. So you have the time that you need here tonight, brother. And whatever time's left over, I have two or three that I'll mention as time allows. All right. So, Brother Mills, if you will come. And Dr. Mills, and help us to understand the Word of God. And by the way, while he is coming, let me just say this. I'm not inviting men to come and be teachers, okay? These are men of the church. Not that they're not skilled and are not teaching in a way. But I'm asking them, whoever it is that wants to volunteer, that's male, all right, that when they stand here behind the pulpit, what they're doing is they're helping us to understand what God's shown them from this chapter. And to be able to do it, not necessarily teaching, that rises to a little bit of a different level. But nonetheless, I'm learning a lot from it. But that's kind of the format. I mentioned that the first time we did it. And I want to encourage the men of this church to provide godly leadership for this community, but also for our church. Amen? And the best way for the men, myself included, to do that is if we're men of the Word, on a regular basis, chewing on the Word, diving into what we don't understand, and asking the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to understand it. And when He gives it to us, it's like that wellspring, springing up, and then we can share it with others whom we love. So, Brother Mills, if you'll come with the Word of God open, I can't wait to hear it. Lord bless you, brother.
I was thinking this afternoon, what you get tonight is the leftover. And so my wife always apologizes for leftovers, but I'll try not to disappoint you here. I don't think they... If I read a couple of verses, that should not disappoint us to hear God's word. Well, chapter 16, every proverb I read, I think, wow, this is so full of goodies. And so I was thinking the other day, I guess a week or two ago, I was getting ready for last week, that Proverbs, the chapter 16, is a real treasure trove. You know, I think of a treasure trove as back in the days when there were pirates and they would take their gold and whatever they stole, and in their case, but they would hide it. And so to find it again, they needed to work at it. And they usually, if they had a map, they could get to it, and then it took sometimes some work to dig it up and find the treasures that were there. And I thought as I was studying this that, you know, the more we dig, the more treasures you find. You know, I don't know if you've had the experience that I have, but reading through the Proverbs, on a monthly basis is my goal. I'm not doing so well this year, but every time I read it, I think, boy, I never saw that before, and so I'm thankful for it. So there are a couple of verses I'm just going to mention because they're not the what I'm going to talk primarily about, but just a couple of verses that over the years Cheryl and I have reminded each other of. And one of them is verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so we try and prompt one another. If we're getting some opposition or some pushback on something, no matter what it might be, and so the first thing we do is stop and pray and say, Lord, are our ways pleasing you? Because you said if our ways are not, that you know we may have some opposition. But if our ways do please you, then he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so we just try and think of that regularly. And another one is over in verse 25. And I need to remind myself of that one regularly. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't know if any of you have this problem, but sometimes I think, well, I can handle that. I know how to do that. I've done that before. And charge ahead and without my way. And that probably wasn't the best, but to seek the Lord's direction in it. So those are two verses that I try to apply, probably not as often as I should, but I do try and remember those. When I was starting to study this chapter, I went through and kind of took an inventory of the verses. And there's 33 verses. And when I got my list done, I saw that 10 out of the 33 pertain to our spoken words, to our mouth and lips. And second was with 9 out of 33, it speaks directly of our motives or direction in our lives. But I thought, well, 10, that's almost a third of the verses that Solomon wrote here in this for this chapter that deal with our tongue. You know, I thought, here's a man who is filled with God's wisdom, and yet he, I don't know, from personal experience he thought this was important, or if he just, with his wisdom, he knew it was important, or, you know, he wrote this for his sons, and so he saw, he knew that they would need this direction. So that's what I decided to kind of go with the category that had the most verses. How many of you have heard an old saying? I can remember hearing it when I was a kid. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm them. Do you believe that? It's a lie, isn't it? And certainly words can be more harmful than sticks and stones, I believe. So they are important. So I chose this, two verses out of here that I was going to just talk briefly about. First one is verse 21, and I'll just read it first. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. You know, like many of the Proverbs, they're in little couplets. There's this and this. And I think the Lord directed Solomon to write in this way because sometimes I look at them and I think, well, those are two different things. But if you really study them, and that's where getting the treasure trove and digging a little bit, you'll find that they're there for a reason. When God says something in this order, it isn't random, is it? This is the way he wanted it. The wise in heart. So that sets a criteria for the second half of the verse. The wise in heart, of course, we talk about people that are being wise-hearted. That would be probably someone we'd consider maybe intelligent, skillful, many other ways to do that. But he also says prudent there at the end of that phrase. I just, like, my concordance or Strong's, I guess I looked up, says the word there that was used was to look well to understanding, to have understanding. So what he's saying is, if a man is wise of heart, is a wise man, we all understand that one, and is prudent or understanding, wanting to understand, then the second half of the verse is going to occur. And sweetness of the lips increases learning. And that's not something you put on your lips, but chapstick or something. That's what comes out flows out from those lips. Is it going to be sweet, or is it going to be something bitter that's going to turn people away or cause harm, actually injure someone? So... So that is verse 21. The other verse I chose was 27. It's a contrasting verse. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. So you see the contrast between those two verses. The one, we can do good, we can build up and help. The other one, evil man, and we don't have to explain that word, do we? We all understand that, maybe, hopefully, we do. sometimes I think of how God looks at things. Do we hate evil as much as he does? Do I? And I stop and think about that. We are commanded to do that. But so an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips is a burning fire. Fires, burning fires are destructive, aren't they? They are consuming. And so we see the contrast here in the first one to the sweetness, to build up, to increase, to encourage. And then the other side of it, the ungodly man who destroys. And his lips can destroy things. And how quickly that can happen. We say things sometimes... I always say put your mind in gear before your tongue, but sometimes I think, what was I thinking to say that? And you all know that we can't take the words back, can we? So so let's put a guard on our lips. We won't take time to turn there, but of course James chapter 3 has a lot to say about our tongue, and it's something that we ought to... probably review regularly. A favorite verse that I try to go flipping over the New Testament that I try to remember, and I read it regularly, but probably ought to read it two or three times a day, is Ephesians 4:29. Let's just turn over there. Ephesians chapter 4 is a full chapter. I've got every verse marked and double marked and underlined and notes everywhere. So if you've got that, I'll read it here for us. got the frog tonight. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's pretty strong speaking in the corrupt. We all know what corruption is. So if I'm saying something that's, well, we'll get to the rest of it here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, I try to think, but I many times fail to think, is this going to administer grace to the hearers that are listening? No matter what we're doing, it's on it to another individual or to a group like this. Is it going to encourage them, build them up, or is it going to discourage them and tear them down? And when I read 29, I've got to read the rest of that chapter. It all just goes, it's too good to miss. And verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We think about that, quenching the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit by the words that we speak. I need to more regularly. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then ends with a good positive admonition. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We should be reminded of the Lord's forgiveness every day. Without that, if we all got what we deserved, we'd all be in trouble. I know I would. And then I'll just turn ahead just a little bit to another Pauline epistle, Philippians 4:8. And I usually try to, I have memorized that, and I think, but when I get up here, my memory is gone somewhere else. I left it at home. So I'll read it to you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I hope we all think before we speak, don't we? We're supposed to. And so if I think about it and know that what I'm going to say lines up with what I should be thinking, where my mind should be, then what will come out of my mouth will be sweetness of the lips and not other things. And last verse here I'd like to turn to is 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2 is of Timothy. It's become one of my favorites here in the last year or so. But we're going to skip down to, 25. Let's start at 25 there. And some instruction again from Paul. 24. Let's start. That's the introduction to this thought phrase here. And the servant of the Lord, we ought to strive all to be servants, take the role of a servant, not have our own agenda, but to serve our master. But then the servant of the Lord must not strive. So what he's listing some criteria. If we're a servant of the Lord, these are things that you ought to be able to see in our lives. Not to strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's a good verse that I need to remember daily when I'm speaking to others. And if I'm harsh and maybe in my tone, or my even what I say to someone, are they going to be attracted and want to be? Have you ever heard someone say, boy, if that's the way Christians are, I don't think I want any part of that. I have heard people say that. And so it's indictment to me of people that are watching my life. Will they want what I have? And so all these verses here, and there's lots more where they come from, but should encourage us and be very careful of our words. Thank you.
That was good, amen? We all need it. I certainly do. Let me share with you just two or three quick ones that has Josh come in? I can't see. I'm looking at someone. I can't tell if it's Josh or not. Evidently not. Okay. No, that's Jordan. Okay, I think that's Jordan right there. All right. And he's probably having a heart attack right now. All right. No, I'm not Josh. All right. All right. With our Bibles open to Proverbs 16 again, and keeping in mind that what Brother Mills has, by the way, pray for him. It was probably not easy for him to speak tonight. He's having a real problem with his esophagus, and he'll probably be sore as a result of what he just did. And yet he was used of the Lord for us. Amen? And praise the Lord for that. Thank you, sir. So with two or three things that kind of blend together with that, if you'll look with me, please. And this is just something that's a challenge to Randy Bray, and I'll share it with you as God shared it with me. You'll know in verse 2, I think we heard about that last week, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. But notice verse number 3. This has helped me a lot. Notice what it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, Okay? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Let's say, for example, that you are going to have to get up on a pretty high ladder. Maybe it's on a two-story building. Maybe it's just up on the house, and it's a kind of a scary proposition for you. And so as you're about to climb the ladder, you're not really thinking about, you know, where you're going to put your next step. You're just looking at the higher you go. My goodness, I can see places in the backyard, and you begin swaying around so you can get the best view that you possibly can. But you know that ladder, I think your great-granddad set it to the side about 20 years before you were born. And it has served its purpose many a day. And so maybe the rungs on that ladder, it's a wooden ladder, and maybe the rungs are a little, well, they're wood, but they're not real good at it. So you have to get up on the roof, and so as you think about it, you're committing yourself to arriving safely on the roof. You're committing yourself to watching everything that's going on. Notice what it says here, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. There may be 14 hummingbirds flying around. You like hummingbirds. There may be a jackrabbit that's going across the way, and you go, oh, nice jackrabbit. But you're not going to pay attention to that. Why? Because you know the condition of that ladder, and you know where you need to be. And so rather than getting distracted because you're committed to landing safely up there, you're watching to see as you climb that ladder, rung by rung by rung by rung, you're not two-thirds of the way up and say, hey, I'm home scot-free. No, the higher you get, the greater the danger. And so you're looking at it carefully. The point is, when you commit your work to arrive on top of the roof, your thoughts are going to be established as far as, I'm going to be really careful. I may other times and other ladders be able to look around, but not now. I've got to watch what I'm doing. Now, that's just maybe an odd illustration for this particular text, but God used this in my heart in days past, and it reminds me that if early in the morning, best time in the world, early in the morning, and if you don't have that kind of time, ask the Lord to give you an appointment. Ask the Lord for a time when He would have you to meet with Him in the morning. And just say, Lord, it doesn't matter if it's 1 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning or whenever it is, Lord, You tell me when to meet. Unless I have a responsibility, I'm at work or something like that, and I can't do it then, and I'll do it as close to that as I can. But you know what I found in my life? And if you'll allow me to, I'll share it with you. When I rise early in the morning and I spend time with the Lord, and I commit my works unto the Lord for that day and say, Lord, it's going to be a busy day today. I need Your help. Holy Spirit, You said that You would guide, Jesus said You would guide me into all truth. And so, Holy Spirit, I need Your help as I go through it, because it's easy for me to look for the hummingbird, so to speak. It's look for me to, oh, there's a crow over there. Oh, there's a hawk over there. And that little bunny rabbit going down the way. That's real easy for me to get distracted physically. But now you're not this way, I'm sure. It's real easy for me to get distracted spiritually. It may be health, it may be finances, it may be relationships. But I have found in my life, and maybe you could give greater testimony and say, yes, preacher, that's true in my life too. Maybe you haven't. Let me encourage you. Early in the morning, sometimes we wait, oh, I'm a night person. Okay, that's nothing wrong with being a night person. But how much better to enter into your nightlife, so to speak, having an appointment with the Lord in the morning to say, Lord, this day belongs to You. The agenda, I make an agenda almost every day, every day, every day, every day. Yesterday, my agenda was about this long, and I knew I was going to get to all of it. And that's the way it is a lot of days. And so I prioritize it once I make my agenda, and then one, this is the most important, I'll get at it first. This is the second most, I'll get at it second, so forth. As I work my way down the agenda, I'm not going to get to everything. So the next day, those things get back on the agenda again. And my point is, it helps me greatly when I put God first in the morning and say, Lord, this day belongs to you. The morning belongs to you. Lord, I got a lot of things going, just like you would say. Lord, I have a lot of things going, but this day belongs to you. Lord, when I pillow my head and sleep tonight, as I'm whispered off in sleep, Lord, I want to be able to be whispered off in sleep, knowing that this day belonged to you. I committed it to you early in the morning. So, Lord, you said, if thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee because he what? He trusteth in thee. Oh, I don't know about you, but that helps me. When I saw this again as I was going through it with you folks, I was reminded how important that is. Now, we've got to hurry and finish in about 2 or 3 minutes, if I can do it. All right, let's go back. We're going to have our prayer time. We're not going to go home, all right? Not that quick. All right. But if you'll scoot right on down, now it's kind of in the same vein as the other. In verse number 9, and my eye's got blurs. Could somebody read verse number 9 for me, please? Who has that? Brother Corella, if you would, please.
A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps.
A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his step. Okay? Thank you. And by the time you finished, it all cleared up. In understanding, I'm sure, because of the way you read it, but my eyesight cleared up as well. Okay, so here we go. Notice again what it says, and I can see it now. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Does that mean I'm going in the wrong direction? Not necessarily. Does the Lord want us just to wait until not necessarily. When you rise in the morning and you're doing what we talked about in verse number 3, by the time you get down to verse number 9, I believe it is, yes, 9, you say, okay, all right, this is the agenda. Lord, I prayed about it this morning, and this is the agenda that I believe you'd have me to pay attention to, the priorities and moving my way down and paying attention to necessities and responsibilities. And so, Lord, unless you show me differently, this is the direction I'm going to go. Maybe it be life choices. Maybe it's God calling you to the mission field. You say, no, wait a minute, whoa, put the brakes on. I'm in my 40s. I'm in my 50s. I'm in my 60s. I'm in my whatever. Oh, my goodness. I've known several. I don't know if you've ever heard of Source of Light Missions, but we had a lady in Asheville who retired from her work. And she began praying about what God wanted her to do. And the Lord said, just dealt with her in her young senior years of saying, wait a minute, I think that may be what God wants me to do. There's another man at Source of Light, Jim Tilson. And he works at Source of Light. He was an associate pastor up at Asheville. And God called him to Source of Light as well. And he went there and he worked. And he worked for a while. It's a printing company that does Bible studies and things like that. And sends them to prisons and missionaries all over the world. And it's a great ministry. And then God began dealing with him about the blind. Now here's a man in his 50s. Maybe a little older. I don't know. I think probably in his 50s at the time. Or mid-50s or so. And he said, Brother Bray, pray for me. God's leading. I don't know Braille, and I don't know how to do anything with the blind, but I can't get away from it. And here we are at Source of Light, sending out in this language, and that language, in India, and this language, in South America, and all over the world, but we don't have anything for the blind right here at home. You know what God led him to do? To go back to school, learn Braille, to the degree he could be certified in it so that he could actually write it in Braille. He could do the writing of it so that they could develop lesson plans. Now, here's my point. You and I, we're wanting God's will for Calvary Baptist. Amen or no? Amen. Amen. That was pretty good. Shall we turn the volume up? Not necessarily now. We have live stream, folks. We don't want to fake them out, all right? But if we as a heart, the heartbeat of this ministry is to be used of God some way every day, to glorify God in our lives, if that's true, how about a good hearty amen? Amen. And my amen is with you, and I believe that. I believe your heart is there. Here's the thing about it. Let's move in the direction that God wants us to go. What we believe to be is God's will. And it's nothing wrong with it. It's going in a direction that it sounds like, looks like, feels like God's will. It says, a man deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his what? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe I've spoken or taught a little bit on Romans 8. I've not done it a lot, but I shall in future days. It's phenomenal. Romans 8, 26, 27, and 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8, 28. But you can't understand Romans 8, 28 until you learn Romans 8, 26, and 27. And I won't teach it tonight because it's time to go to prayer. But here's my point. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says that we know not what we should pray for. It says the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities. The things we have are problems. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't even know how to pray intelligently sometimes because we don't know God's will all the time. We just think we know God's will and we go in the direction of God's will. But it goes on to say, and we'll teach it later, but it goes just on to say that he intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, in a way we can't even comprehend. And it says, and he that searcheth the hearts of man, that's God the Father, knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit is God too. He which searcheth the hearts of man, because we don't know how to pray intelligently about God's will, because we don't know it. We want to know it, but we just don't. It says, the Holy Spirit's interceding to the Father and saying, Father, Randy Bray is sincere, but he's sincerely going in the wrong direction. And if we don't do something, this is Bray version of it, if we don't do something, he's going to be sincere, but sincerely out of our will, and he's not going to change because he thinks he's in our will. It says, and he which knoweth the hearts of man, God the Father, knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he lives in our hearts, and he is God. He knoweth the mind of the Spirit, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for the saints. Brother Steve, that includes you. Sister Sandra, that includes you. He maketh intercession for the saints, here we go, according to the will of God. That's exactly what he's saying in Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way. He loves God, his heart's in it. Good, bad, or ugly. A man's heart directeth his, or establishes his way, deviseth his way. But especially for those who love God, it says, but the Lord directeth his steps. There are times when you and I think this is exactly God's will, and God knows it's not. Nothing wrong with it, but it's not God's will for you. Maybe for someone else, but not for you. We can trust the Lord. Our job is to stay right with God. Amen? That's our job, is just to stay right with the Lord. So when the Lord starts directing our paths over toward in the direction, that's where Romans 8, 28 comes in. That's the very next verse. So we know that all things work together, concert together. Assimilate. They come together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, you're willing to say, Lord, I want to meet with you this morning. And Lord, I'm going to, as it says in verse 3, I'm going to commit my works this day to you. And Lord, if I'll do that, my thoughts will be established. And Holy Spirit, I want you to work in my thoughts, because there's a lot that goes on in there by way of temptation and distraction. But Lord, I also know that I may devise my way. I may make my way, but I know that you direct my thoughts and my steps. I don't know if that means much to you, but it brings a calmness to me. It brings a calmness knowing, wait a minute, my job is to stay right with God and do what I already know he wants me to do. And in the process of doing that, I don't have to worry about getting out of his will. He wants me in his will more than I want to be. And so he's going to work in my heart and life so that my steps end up, boom, right on target where he wants me to be. All right. Well, thank you, Brother Mills, for the message from the Word and what God led upon your heart. And thank you for putting up with me. I'm a pitch hitter for Brother Josh tonight. And so it may be something about his grandma. He loves his grandma and is watching over her very carefully.